How Korean culture conquered the world. K-pop, K-drama, K-beauty. How did this small Asian country come to be such a cultural powerhouse?
A generation ago, nobody imagined how popular Korean culture would be today. For most people, South Korea was a small Asian country known for making cheap, low-quality cars and little else. Yet today, it is better known for the following: the world's biggest pop band, BTS, Squid Game, the most successful Netflix series ever, and Parasite, the first foreign language movie ever to win the big Oscar prizes. Those successes are just the tip of a massive cultural iceberg. K-pop is a $5 billion industry and growing fast. K-dramas have avid fans on every continent, helping to fuel a $10 billion K-beauty industry as they try to emulate its star actors. Korean gamers dominate esports, and Samsung dominates the world market in TVs and smartphones. How did this relatively small Asian country of approximately 50 million people become such a cultural giant? Well, it all started with something else very big: dinosaurs. No, not the ones you learned about from the Cretaceous period, but the ones who starred in the 1993 American movie Jurassic Park. Filmed on a $63 million budget, Jurassic Park made almost $1 billion worldwide, an incredible sum at the time. Pretty much everyone saw it, from school kids to presidents, including the then president of South Korea, Kim Jong-sam. And he then realized something very important for his country. South Korea would have to build and export 1.5 million Hyundai cars to equal the film's profits. And there was more. The film was also a brilliant advertisement for the cute little Jeep Wrangler SUVs that were used in it. How many cars did Jeep sell thanks to that promotion? A lot. So, a plan was made. The Korean government would dedicate an incredible 1% of the national budget to cultural exports. The country's big conglomerates, such as Samsung and Daewoo, whose sales would benefit if their products appeared in Korean dramas, were persuaded to open film studios. South Korea set out to seduce the world. The first targets were its Asian neighbors. Ironically, Korea's cultural insignificance was a key factor in the plan's success. It was not a country that polarized opinions, as China and Japan tend to do. People all over Asia rapidly fell in love with the charming, slightly crazy TV dramas the country started producing, and began flooding into Korea as tourists. Other economic benefits soon followed. Samsung and LG became electronics giants. Kia and Hyundai cars began exporting everywhere. And as people imitated the look of Korean actors, the country's cosmetics industry boomed. But Asia was just the first step. K-dramas export well because their stories and genres are not too culturally specific. So, what worked in the East gradually spread west. By 2007, for instance, Iranians were obsessed by the Korean historical drama The Jewel in the Palace, making it their country's top-rated show. The K-pop phenomenon followed a similar route, as Asia fell for the first stars of South Korea's infamous talent schools. Songs were written in a mixture of Korean, English, and Mandarin to maximize cultural appeal. K-pop candidates were trained to be perfect performers, giving up all control over their personal lives in the quest for success, often with tragic consequences for their mental health. Until now, Western media and radio stations had ignored K-pop. But that didn't matter, because Korea had an important ace to play: the Internet. The original government plan in the 1990s had envisioned making South Korea a leader in the coming digital revolution. Long before other nationalities, South Koreans could access high-speed internet thanks to 24-hour cafes called PC Bangs. It was in these that the national obsession with video games started, explaining why Korean teams have traditionally dominated esports. On the negative side, the PC Bangs arguably also created a major problem of internet addiction, with, in some cases, obsessive gamers literally dying in front of their screens. But the result was that when new social media platforms such as YouTube arrived, Korea was ready for them like no other country. K-pop stars were instructed to exploit the new platforms to create a more personal relationship with their fans, who, in turn, used the same social media to promote their favorite singers around the world. This drove the success of K-pop in the West, as social media created an army of fans whose influence is more powerful than most people realize. In America, for instance, K-pop fans acted as a unified force in the Black Lives Matter movement, with impressive results. And in 2020, Donald Trump famously turned up to a nearly empty election rally because K-pop fans had reserved all the tickets as a prank. In less than 30 years, Korean culture conquered America, home to Jurassic Park itself. Last year, the Oxford English Dictionary added 26 Korean words that have become commonly used in English, and Duolingo recently announced Korean to be the world's second fastest-growing language. And don't imagine this will be a passing fashion. Korea dedicates 20 or so times more of its national budget to the cultural campaign than any other country does. The long-term economic strategy is still very much in place and continues to spread across the world. Korea is going after underdeveloped markets, says Yuni Hong, author of The Birth of Korean Cool. In the short run, this is insane. Most people in Kazakhstan can't afford a smartphone, but they do have access to the internet and to K-dramas. In 5 or 10 years, when these countries have people who can afford smartphones, they're probably going to buy Samsung. By comparison, the West seems to have little of the cultural cool people are now seeing in Korea. Ironically, you could say it's starting to look a bit like a dinosaur.